Well, here we are again, beautiful IK, R&R Center of, what would you call it, Mideastern South Vietnam. Well, I suppose you heard the rumor that I started about 2 weeks ago, probably three by the time you get this tape, that I was going to F Troop of 1st to the 9th in Bearcat. Well, although I haven't heard any official news, I was supposed to leave within 2 days. It's now exactly 11 days later, and I haven't even got the faintest hint that I'm going. So, for all practical purposes, I've decided that I'm not going. So, I'll be here in good old IK with Alpha Troop of the 227th Assault Helicopter Battalion for a while, it looks like. But you never can tell. This is a very strange war over here. People move around a lot. In a way, I was looking forward to going to Bearcat. Bearcat is halfway between Saigon and Vung Tau, and Vung Tau is way out on the coast. It's an R&R center, and it's a much more secure area than this is. Lately, we have lost our 588th Engineering Battalion, which was located here at Lai K. And we've lost two helicopter companies. They've moved back to Phuc Vinh. So that leaves Echo Troop of 1st to the 9th, one company here, and Alpha Troop of the 227th Assault Helicopter Battalion. Now, we are the only two American units still stationed at Lai K. We are, our entire perimeter is manned and protected by Arvin Infantry, and our artillery is Arvin Artillery. We've got one post office and two companies and one tower operating outpost here that are still U.S. type. So the Americans are definitely pulling back. I don't know who will be the last one to leave Lai K, whether we will or Echo Troop. They've got the guns. If they leave before we do, I will be very insecure. Because as it stands now, Arvin Artillery is very unreliable, and Arvin Infantry is downright depressing. So the only real protection we have here are our gun birds. If we do get attacked or get a... If we do come under attack, immediately they call out the gun birds, and the gun birds go police up whatever needs to be done. Our company is strictly, we're a company of slicks, and we don't have any guns to speak of. We got a couple of 50 cals mounted on birds with big lights, but the Echo Troop 1st to 9th has 8 Cobras, and 8 Cobras... One Cobra is equal to 200 Viet Cong, you know, easy. So it'd take a pretty strong force to overrun us now with 8 gunbirds. Not to mention we do have a lot of other light support stuff. So I guess we're still pretty safe. We haven't had a rocket attack in well over a month now. They're not shooting as much artillery around here as they used to. In general, the level of activity has dropped. Our missions now, where they used to take 10, 11, and 12 hours a day, we get that much flight time a day, has now dropped to 7, 8, 9, and 10 hours a day. So there's not as much activity going on in our particular AO as there used to be when I first got here. We did have a little incident yesterday. One of our birds was hovering out and preparing to take off when its engine disintegrated while it was at about a 3-foot hover. The AC performed a hovering auto rotation, and nothing was lost but the engine itself. Seems that a little rock got in a turbine or something like that and commenced to chew everything up. Those turbines spin at 23,000 RPM, and it doesn't take much of a ununiform body going through there to shake things up real nice. But they pulled the engine out, and in an hour and a half, the aircraft was back flyable again. Just jerk out the old engine and drop in a new one, and that's what they did. Fortunately, they were not at a very critical altitude. If the engine had held together for another 30 seconds, they'd have been in bad shape, because until you attain 60 knots or about 300 feet, you can't even auto-rotate. You just fall like a stone. So that's your minimum criteria, you know. Anything above a 25-foot hover and below about 300 feet or 60 knots, and you're in bad shape. Whenever we can, we have a strip, you know, a runway. We always run along the runway until we've got our 60 knots before we pull it up. You know, we just hover along the runway at 60 knots until we've got, 60 or 70 knots at 3 feet before we start gaining altitude. That way, if we have an engine failure at any time, we can perform an auto rotation. The worst thing is a 100-foot hover. That's the time when you really don't want engine trouble. But other than that, we're flying very safely, as near as can be expected for the Army and the CAV. I've been loafing here for the last 10 days. On October the 20th, I had a little chest congestion and my usual fall colds, I guess. And so I went over and grounded myself for the last 10 days and just laid around and didn't do anything. We have plenty of pilots, so nobody objected. The doctor gave me 2 days grounding, and I grounded myself for another 8. But I've been just laying around taking it easy over here. I got your package yesterday with the jack-o'-lantern in it and the parade magazines and the funny papers and the popcorn and the pictures and the tape. I seem to have really done myself in as far as mail is concerned. I jumped the gun on telling Joanne my 1st-to-the-9th address, and she didn't quite get all the message, I guess, but I told her not to use it until I told her to, and I haven't had any mail since I called her, so I don't know, but I am still at Lie K, and the same old address, Alpha Company 227, so if you are mailing my stuff to 1st-to-the-9th, write it off as a loss and repeat everything. I sent Joanne, just got back from the post office, I sent her an envelope with a Pacex catalog and a half a dozen pamphlets from Sansui and Pioneer and Akaya stereo equipment, hi-fi and stuff. In the catalog is also cameras, cassette players, radios, China. Just a little brief rundown of the stuff we can buy at the Pacex. If you all see a camera in there that you want, let me know and I can get it for you. The cameras are about half price of what they cost in the States. And of course, they're all this stuff is Japanese products, which I have found to be of outstanding quality. So if you want me to get anything for you, you can look through the catalog and pick it out. Send me the what is it? It's about a 9-digit number. the weight, the name, and the price, and I can order it from that. If you want any camera, you said your camera went on the blink. Now'd be a good time to get a really nice camera at half price. Of course, it's a funny thing. Everything is at half price, but nothing under $100 is even considered. So, so the prices are still kind of high, but the equipment is definitely first class quality. I have that little Yoshika GS. It's an electronic camera. It takes takes pictures, indoor color pictures without a flash if you want to. And it's really an outstanding camera. I really like it. I also bought a strobe for it in the event I wanted to take quick pictures. And I guess you've heard about all the other stereo equipment I've ordered and bought. Right now I have a tape recorder, a real type. And of course I have my favorite kind of music on. Hard rock. I've also ordered another amplifier and a few speakers and some headphones and various sundry equipment. I'm about to go broke saving all this money over here on this stuff. The old story, I guess. No, I'm not really going broke. My wife is working, so we have plenty of money. She's getting harder and harder to keep track of now with school. I called her a couple of times and she was out now. That's the first time that's happened in a while. But, I don't know, school is pretty neat. I was looking at our we have an education officer, and I was looking through his material over there, and for $28, I can order, right straight from Texas Tech, my favorite calculus course. The only trouble is, they put in parentheses, anyone who has taken a course and failed it cannot retake it through the correspondence course, which really blew my mind. That's not even fair. But they've changed the course number on it a little bit. This is the calculus with the new math, which I'm sure it will be even harder. But I'm going to order it anyway. I'm not really so much interested in getting the credit for it as I am in getting the knowledge out of it. I let calculus throw me there a while back, and since then I have mastered a few things. So I'm going to go back and see if I can't master the calculus. So I figure for $28, it'll give me something to do for my remaining 6 months. I told Joanne this the other day. I'll repeat it again since good news is nice to hear. The 60-day drop that I told you all about 2 months ago that I was very unsure of at the time, I am now very sure of. So it looks like I should be coming home 2 months early. That will put me at coming home instead of in June, but in April, the 22nd. Which right now, as I figure, it gives me about 6 months to go. And that's really nice. I definitely will be glad to leave this place. I don't even like this. I don't know. This kind of war is really, really nerve-wracking. It's so slow, but yet still there's a lot going on. And if you get careless or complacent, things can happen real fast. And this makes it still very hazardous over here. We are not in what you could call a secure area by any means. Almost, I would say, half of the action that you hear about in Vietnam happens in a Cav AO, and the other half happens in the 101st. Just about, we're the only two divisions that are still in a offensive position. Everybody else is retired to Saigon and Vung Tau and Cam Ranh and the places on the coast that we are securing. But we're still bearing the brunt on the west. on the east, west, yeah. Well, it all depends on which way you want to go. Cambodia, from where I am, is west. Well, we still bear the brunt on the west. We're the western frontier, you might say. But I'm convinced the VC and the North Vietnamese have had their backs broken. Cambodia has been editorialized up one side and down the other, and so I'm going to give you my opinion. As far as I am concerned, it was an absolute, not only a success, but a necessity. It was every bit a success. I think we've broken the Viet Cong and the VC supply routes up so bad that it will take them a year, maybe even 2 years, to rebuild what we tore up on our excursion into Cambodia. We still make night raids into Cambodia every now and then. We still run B-52 strikes into Cambodia. The newspapers give you the impression that all the fighting is in Cambodia, but there's still plenty over here on this side of the line. But Cambodia is definitely a success as far as I'm concerned. It makes Lai Ke a safer place in which to live. and that's very important. So you can tell that to all your know-it-all friends that want to editorialize about the war. Of course, that's just my opinion, but it's also the opinion of just about everybody in the CAV who were the ones that went into Cambodia. Although I wasn't here beforehand, I see plenty of signs of what it was like. There are two seasons in Vietnam, the monsoon season and the typhoon season, I have decided. One is the season where it rains at least every day, and the other one is the season in which it stops raining at least once a day. And we have gone from the monsoon season to the typhoon season, and I didn't even know what rain was. But it has really been raining. It was raining so bad the last 2 days that we couldn't get a bird off the ground either day, 2 days in a row, and that's the first time that's ever happened. All day long, the weather was so bad. We had winds gusting to 50 knots and storms just drenching the place. You couldn't even see so bad it was rain. No fog, but just the rain was so thick you couldn't see, let alone fly. But, the typhoon seems to have slowed down a little bit here. It's not raining right now. Like I said, it quits raining at least once a day. But it has brought a new problem into our compound we didn't have before, and that is rats and mice. So being the great hunter that I am, I developed a new load over here in the land of big guns and wars and B-52 strikes. I found myself out on the in the machine shop pulling the bullets out of 38 special cases, dumping the all but just a pinch of the powder out, putting in a cardboard wad, filling the rest of the case up with number 9 rat shot or filings from the lay, any kind of metal filings or chips I could find. And then filling it up the rest of the way with candle wax. It makes an outstanding rat shot load, and it's not very loud, and it won't penetrate the plywood walls of our rooms. And so we stay up late at night, when we are up late at night, playing cards and drinking, whatever. every now and then you'll hear a tch, tch. And that means another rat has bit the dust, more than likely. Rats are really bold around here. They'll walk right up to you. You'll be sitting in the chair and they'll walk right up and start gnawing on the legs of the chair. And of course our guns are never very far away. We reach over and hold the gun about a foot from their head and pull the trigger. It does a job on them. In the last 2 days, I've killed about 4 rats, not to mention the traps we have set all over the place, and rat poison, but the rats are really bad. I don't know, they've got an automatic policy if you get bit by a rat to give you the 21 lovely rabies shots, and so nobody wants to get bit by a rat. If you do get bit, what most guys do is they'll even risk getting bit and bit real badly, catching and killing the particular rat so that it can be examined to ascertain whether or not it has rabies. If it doesn't, no matter how bad he bites you, you don't have to take the rabies shots. So, although nobody in the company has gotten bit yet, or will own up to being bit yet, a couple of people in the Echo Troop have had to go through the rabies ordeal. But other than that, we're all right. Between the rats and the gooks, we're holding our own, I guess. According to all the editorials in the newspapers, it seems like the nation is really in a state of turmoil right now. I don't know. It's kind of hard. You can see news at home, and because you live there, you have a slight insight as to what's really going on. But over here, that's all you have are headlines and a couple of weekly news magazines and a Playboy to keep you informed of what's going on back in the world. And sometimes I wonder how distorted they are. I see they captured Angela Davis, the public enemy slash heroine number one. At she's going to be quite a controversial character, I think, in the upcoming months. And I don't know. I've been really, really loading up on the news as much as I can, even more now than I used to for some reason. Well, first of all, I've got more time to just lay around and read. That's about all there is to do over here. I've read about 7 or 8 books since I've been here, which for me that just about doubles the number of books I've ever read, you know. And I consume a fantastic stack of magazines in 1 week. I think I subscribe to Time and Newsweek, and in addition, I swap off my Time and Newsweek for U.S. News and World Report and Life Magazine. And then there's always the stack of Playboys and Penthouse magazines floating around with their male Calvinistic editorials. Playboy insists that it's for the Women's Liberation Front, and the Women's Lib keeps cutting Playboy and Penthouse to ribbons. I don't know. Playboy is really getting I don't know, mellow in its old age. They're not even radical anymore. I don't know whether they really ever were radical. But I read a line in it that was taken from Myra Breckinridge that it said, Playboy said, such scenes go to show the level to which Hollywood will stoop to make money. Whereas I'm sure 10 years ago it would have hailed Myra Breckinridge as a renowned breakthrough. But that's all right. Penthouse is coming along and is going to take Playboy's place as Playboy moves into the way of Esquire and True magazine, you know. More talking and less action. It's really funny. The Playboy magazine definitely editorializes against anything about the military, and without a doubt, Playboy is the number one seller on every military post I've ever been at. Not only through the enlisted men, but the high-ranking officers as well, all subscribe and read Playboy. I don't know whether they agree with it or skip the editorials or what, but I just find that rather amusing. So that when privates gripe in Playboy's editorials, generals usually read about it, which is nice, I think. The Army over here is getting a little more strapped. We're having to go with shorter hair now than we used to. Our mustaches are having to be trimmed. We can no longer wear beads, armbands, anything critical of the war. The most popular shirt over here was a t-shirt which had stenciled on the front of it, Vietnam, the Edsel of foreign policy. And this is no longer allowed. Of course, we wear them anyway, as we do our beads and armbands and what have you. I don't know, the Army's really taken a beating on this war. If it had been a popular war, you can tolerate just about all the stuff the Army puts out, but when you haven't got a popular war, the Army really takes a beating. I was amused at the improvements the Pentagon says that we're going to make in the Army. No lines longer than 15 minutes, and no more Saturday formations, and no more playing with enlisted men's weekend passes, and this kind of stuff. Gonna take all the fun out of the Army for me. I haven't stood in a formation. Well, I take that back. I've stood in three formations since I've been in Vietnam, and all three of them were awards decoration formations for my fellow officers, which are esteemed comrades in birds. We're awarded Distinguished Flying Crosses and Air Medals, and as a matter of fact, we even have one man in our company who has been nominated for the Congressional Medal of Honor. We don't know the outcome of it yet, but more than likely he will get it, since what he did is right on par with what all the rest of CMH winners got, and he did it in front of the right people at the right time, you know. It's not really so much what you do, it's who sees you doing it that counts on these medals. If a lieutenant or a captain sees you doing it, that's good for an air medal. If a captain or a major sees you doing it, that's good for a bronze star. If a major or lieutenant colonel sees you, that's good for a Distinguished Flying Cross. Or if a general sees you doing it, that's good for a CMH. The same thing, you know, right down the line. Just depends on who watches you in your act of bravery. But that's all right. I have one wish that I can leave Vietnam with that I can leave Vietnam with no medals whatsoever, that including a Purple Heart or anything like that. I've gotten an air medal, but that's something that all the aviators get if they complete 25 combat missions. Everybody in the CAV gets it, I'll put it that way. Not everybody gets it, thank goodness. That's, you still have to earn a few things around here. Oh, yeah, I like it.